All right. Today I am with Maurice Kernan. This is November 8th, 2002. This is tape one, side A of the Pew oral history interview that we're conducting here at SUNY Stony Brook. Let's start with something fairly basic. What is your full name?
Maurice Kernan. You spelled, pronounced Maurice, though it's spelled Maurice.
Okay.
When you're from the other side of the Atlantic.
All right. Okay. Maurice. Where were you born and when were you born?
I was born in May 1962 in Dublin, in Ireland.
Okay. And did you grow up, did you spend most of your childhood in Dublin?
Yeah, we lived in Dublin all my childhood, and I even right through when I went to college, I got my primary degree in Dublin and right. lived at home mm-hmm. with my family while I could. It's more usual, I think, in Ireland than here.
Right. What I know of Dublin comes from James Joyce, Dubliners, the autobiography of William Butler Yeats, and probably a few other places like that. That was about 100 years ago, Dublin. how would you describe what was Dublin like when you were growing up?
There are some points of intersection. I went to the same school that James Joyce did.
Right.
I guess you can certainly find places that haven't changed, mm-hmm. but Dublin was changing a lot while I was growing up, and has continued and perhaps changed even more in the last 5 years in terms of how rich people have gotten. It's quite a wealthy country now. Mm-hmm. Where I probably couldn't afford to move back there.
Oh, really?
I had a very, very middle class upbringing in Dublin. Never felt deprived in any way. I think as far as I know, started off at usual national school, public school that people go to, but then switched to a Jesuit-run fee-paying school mm-hmm. when I was about 8, and stayed that right through equivalent of high school graduation.
Right.
Most of my family still live there. Mm-hmm. All my brothers and sisters, my parents are still alive. They all still live in Dublin.
And how often do you get back there?
About every 2 years or so. I used to manage to do about every year and a half alternating summer and winter visits, but since I've had children myself, things have slowed down a little. More often people come over to visit us here.
Right. And what part of Dublin?
Clontarf, north side of Dublin, which, depending on where, there may be a slight difference depending on whether you come from the north side or south side and your attitude mm-hmm. to life in general, but we came from the suburb, particular areas called Clontarf. It's hard to put it into equivalent terms here, but it was a good place to grow up.
Right. I noticed, I'm doing a little research in New York. I'm sort of new to New York City and sort of exploring it and understanding it a little bit better. But there is definitely a sense of place in New York. Mm-hmm. if you belong.
Right.
Let's say in the Upper East Side, you definitely don't connect yourself with, say, people in Brooklyn or Queens mm-hmm. and whatnot. Is there that sort of loyalty or connection to place in Dublin, in the various parts of Dublin, as you would find maybe here in New York?
Not quite to the... It depends on how far you want to go back. As a child is connected to their immediate surroundings, and, you grow up with... I think a lot more of your time as a child is spent or was spent on the street, just being outdoors, out of your parents' hair, mm-hmm. than would be the case here. So right from the start, you've got a sense of place by being outdoors most of the time, mm-hmm. despite the weather. And I think childhood was a process of exploration and gradually expanding the boundaries of what I could explore, and that's sort of in some ways analogous to the way I do science. And one thing that became important early on for me was sort of getting as quickly as possible to places which were natural, where you could do natural history. Mm-hmm. It was so. I think I remember the first bicycle I got as a big, instantly expanded. You know, that's an expansion of your range for a child.
Right, definitely.
I was definitely into. I did a lot of cycling, up to you know, all the time I was in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Never actually drove a car until, even though I was, you know, graduated from college. Never drove a car until I was near the end of my PhD.
It's mm-hmm. amazing.
but I think, let's see, I was trying to think about how far back you want to go. In Dublin, where I grew up is slightly more urbanized than a typical suburb here, because houses are closer together, it's more built up.
Mm-hmm.
But so somewhere between a suburb and a city, particularly the area we lived in. But they're close enough by the area you could get to natural areas. And one of the closest that was really important for me was a big area of salt marsh, sand dune islands called the Bull Island.
Mm-hmm.
And that I started getting into bird watching and doing a lot of exploring there.
Mm-hmm.
Things like high school science projects were usual natural history based down in that area.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk a little bit about your family. Let's start with your grandparents. Could you tell us maybe a little bit about them? What they did and where they lived and your relationship with them.
So I only knew two of my grandparents. My father's parents were both died before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
His father, my paternal grandfather, died when he was very young, so he never knew his father really. He was the youngest of a family of six brothers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he was reared by his mother and by his older brothers. So I know nothing at all of him other than maybe an old photograph or two. His mother I didn't know at all, but except for the odd story, not too much of those. My mother's parents I knew much better. They owned it. But both my mother and father's family lived in Dublin also, and their parents back for about five generations, which is sort of even unusual. They're proud of that. It's sort mm-hmm. of even unusual in Dublin, because that's a city to which many other people have come and settled. But they lived in neighboring areas. My maternal grandfather owned a hardware store. And he died when I was probably about early teens, I think.
Mm-hmm.
maybe 12, maybe 13. And I remember as somebody fairly jovial, who we would make fun of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But he was up to it. He was set in his ways.
Right.
Had a his history included, you know, things I remember afterwards, that things you wished you'd found out more about, were times he'd been either fought or helped with the war for Irish independence in 1920-21. Had been interned by the British in Wales for briefly, had some medals that we've dug up out of a closet.
Really?
So, that came from that era. I think he didn't like to talk about it much in part because I think part of his family and his wife's family, my grandmother's family, were on opposite sides in the Civil War that followed immediately after, and obviously they didn't like to dig it up again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... And we didn't hear too, never heard too much about it. My grandmother was the, of my grandparents, my maternal grandmother was the person I knew best because she survived longest, right up until I was in college when she died.
Mm-hmm.
And she was small, very amazingly vigorous. She lived into her 90s and was bright and sharp and obviously conservative and set in her ways, but up to one of my memories of her is bring us to the zoo once and her climbing up the fence to get a better look at the penguins, which was something you don't expect for a 90-year-old grandmother to be doing. She died eventually of melanoma cancer, and I think that was sort of lived with us during the last stages of that. So seeing that was probably the closest I'd come to death, and so seeing somebody die, which otherwise my life has been relatively untouched by.
Right. And what did she do?
She was a wife of a retired storekeeper. She didn't have a paying job herself. She was retired, living on a pension. And probably, as is the way of grandchildren, she existed, from my point of view, in order to serve me and my siblings. So.
Exactly.
And again, yeah, I didn't talk enough to her about herself.
Right. Okay.
Probably you'll find a general something I'll come up against is, yeah, I felt I never asked people enough about themselves.
Okay, we're talking about your maternal grandmother. Did you want to add anything else to that description?
No, I find it sort of frustrating. I could summon up her image and something she would do or say instantly, but as with my grandfather, it's just sort of frustrating to know how little of that is conveyed in the description, at least insofar as I'm able to give it.
My grandmother had told stories, and there were always people who sort of appeared in these stories again and again and again. And I don't know who they were, where they lived, what they did. but there they are in these stories. I wish that she were alive to explain that. Let's talk a little bit about your parents. How about your father?
He was... someone I find myself resembling more and more every day, and it's remarked on more and more. Every time I ask people to turn out the lights, and I say, what's all these lights doing on in the house?
Right.
I look at myself.
So in what ways?
That's my dad. He's somebody who's very gentle, is in manner. People like a lot, has worked, finished what was, got went through high school to the stage that most people did, which was called, in Ireland, was called the intermediate certificate, which meant you left school at about 16 or so, and worked as got a job in an insurance company and worked basically for that same company or derivatives of it for his working life, is now retired. Is somebody who is, I think, fairly shy. Is a mixer. Somebody who's quite shy, but can be very. Socially adept once he's familiar with people.
Right.
Something probably also I've again observed myself. I keep observing things and his similarity, ways in which I'm similar to him. At one point, again around the time I was in college, struggled somewhat with depression, which is probably there's a tendency to run in that side of the family. In fact, I think we've even been part of a genetic study that people have done in Ireland on that. Though some other of his brother, one or two of his brothers had the same sort of related problems. I think that he was, you know, I think it was the way my memory, earlier memories of him have always been as, you know, the sort of source of stability in the family. Mm-hmm. He tends to be the one who calms things down, likes things to be on a more emotional, more even keel.
Right.
Is not terribly, he's very happy about what I do, but not all that terribly interested in it. And I think was when I was deciding to go into science, I was more worried about, you know, whether it was a workable job. I think so. Some cousins were enlisted to call me up and say, well, how about biomedical engineering?
A little bit more money.
Most of my many male cousins have been all been engineers.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more a family trait. My right. brother's an engineer.
And what was your relationship with your father growing up?
Almost completely unexamined. dependent on him in some ways, but not in. He was very much not somebody who'd be controlling or dominating.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was. The times I felt closest to him again were doing things that he did and would have done more of in his youth, but did less of when he was going. You know, again, things like going hiking in the hills south of Dublin, or I think nothing's. I'm. What's occurring to me is only descriptions by negatives. You know, not mm-hmm. this, not that. For instance, neither of us had much of an interest in sports, which is sometimes a father-son thing. Though I do remember very early memories being taken to see a soccer game, and which is something he used to do again in his youth. Follow local soccer teams, and then.
And what was his name? So we.
I think that. Thomas Kernan?
Thomas Kernan. Okay.
Tommy. Mm-hmm. My son's name, Thomas.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I interrupted you, though. What were you going to say?
I think our relationship was quite distant, not because we weren't on good terms with each other, just because of neither of us being particularly outgoing or... until after I went away, and then obviously you think about more about what you've left behind, and
mm-hmm.
so visits back were often more. We use the time to catch up more than we would have in, you know, talked about more in the few days I was back rather than we might have in months or
mm-hmm.
while I was living there.
And is he retired now?
Yes.
And he still lives in Dublin, I'd say.
Still lives in Dublin, enjoys retirement, took up golf,
mm-hmm.
along with several of his brothers and many of their sons.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole golfing scene there that I'm, again, not wouldn't know how to participate in when I go back. Mm-hmm. My parents started traveling a lot more once, lately, so... Every time I call up, they seem to be either just off to Greece or back from Paris. Or
really? That's nice.
Which is great.
And they've come here, right? They visited you
They visited me in when I was in Wisconsin. My dad came out to visit. I don't think my mom ever visited me there. when I was married when I was in San Diego. They came out then, come out here, to Long Island once or twice.
And what is their view of the United States, of Americans? Out of curiosity.
I would say a standard Irish view, which is great affection mixed with a lot of disdain for American foreign policy.
Right.
None of my father's family, none of his contemporaries came over to the U.S., which is probably unusual for a family that size.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's brother did and has lived here, and some cousins did, and that's another important family connection for me. She's been in contact. She's been visited Chicago, which is where they live, a couple of times, and or Trenton, which is where her cousins live.
All right. Why don't we turn to your mother? If you could give us her full name.
Veronica Kerning. Veronica Perry was her maiden name.
All right. And what was described?
Usually Vera.
Oh, Vera. And describe her a little bit.
Probably the dominant influence on me. Oh, no, certainly the dominant influence on me. That's probably for any Irish son, particularly any Irish eldest son.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very lively, intelligent. I'm probably the one who would have tended to be pushing me to do more, or live up to my capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Which I quite frequently push back. But more. I think with her, I would share very much the same sort of sense of humor, which is can be sort of ironic, sarcastic, pretty dry. She's in. I'm just trying to get a grip on some specifics that make it easier. Describing your mother is.
Mm-hmm. It's a hard thing.
It's a hard thing.
It is. People who influence us deeply, I think.
Yeah.
What kind of education did she have?
Educated in a convent school, I think, in Dublin, in the city centre. Did not go to college. Went further in high school. Went on, I think, as far as the leaving certificate, which is now the standard exam, taken about 17 or 18,
mm-hmm.
That people would go. So went further than my dad in high school, but didn't go to college. Very few, not many people would have of her generation then. But her brother did, though. She was older by 2 years.
So was it a small family then, just her and her brother?
Okay. On that side, it was just her and her brother.
Right.
So we've got.
And how about hobbies? What did she like to do, more or less? What did she do?
She existed to. In our point of view, she was the center of the world. So it was.
Right.
I'm not sure that she. She. not sure that she did all the things that she would have liked to do when we were growing up, and that's probably some of what she's getting to do now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is she'd done some traveling with her family before she was married, quite a bit in Europe, and I think is now getting to do that again. We had when I had a younger sister who was born. I've got three siblings. I've got a younger sister who was born when I was 14, sort of the longest child, long after, not the afterthought, but unexpectedly late child.
Right.
So it meant that their child rearing years were quite extended quite a bit more than perhaps they would have expected.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so are then you the oldest child? Or
I'm the oldest.
Okay, then.
I'm the oldest. I've got a sister who's 2 years younger than me.
Right.
A brother 3 years younger than that, and then a sister who's 14 years younger than me.
Okay.
I think what she likes doing best is being sociable with a group of friends who are friends from her youth who are so closely knit that we refer to them as Aunt Breda, Aunt Margaret, mm-hmm. Auntie Margaret, Auntie Breda, who would have been, you know, although they weren't aunts at all, not related at all, but just were really close knit friends, and still are. That traveling, some walking, just still. Yeah, sort of strange hopping back between the lab world and then going way back.
It is kind of wrenching.
But
you said that your mother, for instance, had four children, and now she enjoys traveling, probably something she mm-hmm. probably wanted to do
right.
earlier. Right.
Yep. I think the overall impression, you know, I think something that struck me when I came to the U.S. Was how very, very stable that my childhood had been in comparison to most of the people I was at graduate school with
mm-hmm.
when we got to sharing family stories and family backgrounds. And that was something for which I felt extremely fortunate. And appreciate only after I came here, perhaps appreciated mm-hmm. the commitment to stability and to and to making a good environment for a family that my parents had made.
So you would ascribe that then to, I mean, you already mentioned that your dad, for instance,
mm-hmm.
was a very stable figure too.
Right.
I assume then that the marriage worked, or at
yes,
least well enough so that
did and does.
Right.
They're quite different personalities, so there's complementary in some ways, but sometimes they. There was some tension, but there was. But it was again. We never were very rarely, if ever, aware that they would have been fighting at any time.
Right.
I'm sure they were
mm-hmm.
at times.
Would you say now that your mother came from sort of a middle class? Origins.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Maybe upper middle class, whereas my father maybe coming from lower middle class. There was a slight difference there. Store owner's daughter versus
mm-hmm.
Somebody whose father, when he was alive, I think had been a carpenter, joiner, but
skilled craftsman, artisan.
Yeah.
Right.
As I said, who died when my father was so young that there's
mm-hmm.
that left, and pretty much was supported by brothers.
Right. And when did your parents marry?
1961.
Okay, and how did they meet? Do you remember? You weren't there, obviously, but do they talk about that?
I think through friends. It's something I would like to find out more about.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were introduced by friends. The areas where they lived in the city are not too far apart, not too distant from each other.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about your siblings. You said you had three. What
mm-hmm.
about your second oldest? What is his name?
So the person who's oldest next to me,
right.
that's my Margaret, my older two sisters.
And what does she do?
She does a work on. Right now, she's doing. She's gone back to do a PhD on early child psychology and education. In between time, she's been worked in early education throughout. Sometimes as teaching, sometimes running helping to run a school in London, sometimes helping write educational policy for government in Ireland. Mm. She'll be visiting here next week and is going to do some, visit childcare centres where we have our children to, mm-hmm. as part of her research.
Right.
I think she tried when she was just going to college. She tried science for a few weeks and immediately decided that it wasn't for her.
Right.
It was sort of following the older brother's lead, but. Mm-hmm. She was able to. She's very decided. And was able to make up her mind right away. Something I would not have been able to do.
Right.
And that is not for her. She wanted to do something else.
And who comes next then? After that?
Then my brother, my younger brother, Colm, who's an engineer, like many of the other Kernan cousins. I think though he started as a mechanical and structural engineer, and then decided to go into something, I think it's more like a cost analysis and construction.
Right.
Married recently, had a child. My older sister is, my older sister, just to go back to her for a second, is married to a scientist, to a theoretical physicist, lived for a while in Heidelberg and in London.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually came back. My brother, Colm, also lived in England for a while, was working, eventually came back to Dublin. So I'm the only holdout so far.
And then the youngest?
Youngest sister is Niamh, who's a medical doctor, graduated, went through medical school in Dublin, in Trinity, and is probably decided to go into general practice.
Mm-hmm.
In Ireland, every now and then I make some sort of half attempt to attempt to give her a taste of research, but
right.
She's resistant so far. She's probably the smartest one in the family.
Right. That's saying something.
I think the do you know anything about the Irish system of how and whether you get into college?
No, no.
It's highly competitive, and much more so than here. An awful lot depends on the exams you take when you finish the equivalent of high school, the leaving certificate exams. And basically, those were probably the hardest exams I ever took in terms of both the amount of material you had to deal with and the stakes. You do exams in seven or subjects or so, and depending on the level you take them at and your grade, you get a certain number of points, and those points added up to a number. And then you buy your way into colleges, a particular course in a particular university with those points.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you, courses, being medical school or dental school or something like that, that's in high demand. You've got to do really well in your high school exams in order to become a doctor, which is not necessarily the way you want to choose a doctor. But
mm-hmm.
Luckily for me, science was not as in high demand as medical schools, which I probably wouldn't have got into there. But she aced her leaving cert.
Right.
Was able to do it. And since continued to do really well in board exams and things like that. So
of the three siblings, who were you closest to growing up?
For most of the time I was in Ireland, I was closest to Margaret. We were closest in age.
Right.
And between me and my brother, we're probably temperamentally different enough that we weren't all that, and also different enough in age, 5 years apart, that he was the annoying little brother when he was younger, and
mm-hmm.
And by the time he was older, we were different enough in temperament that we got on well, but not
weren't not particularly close.
Right.
I think my parents telling me that the reason Margaret and I got on so well was that neither of us were particularly emotionally demanding of the other. It was more like a
hands off.
In some ways, I've been closest since to my younger sister, to Niamh, which in Niamh is spelled N-I-A-M-H.
Oh, good. You'll have to thank you. I would have bangled that.
In some ways, the thing I regret most about, you know, coming to the U.S. when I did was that I missed an awful lot of her growing up. That's the major loss, the price that was paid for coming over here. But she's there, in part because she was still is living with my parents at home. She's, you know, I get to talk to her every time I call them, and I call my parents and her more often than I would call my siblings.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is she married by any chance?
No.
Okay. All right. I should have asked this when we were talking about Dublin, maybe a little bit more, and Dubliners. Are you a believer in the validity of national types? In other words, is there sort of a quintessential Dubliners or a Dubliner?
Probably like many Irish people, I'm a user of national types when it suits me, and whether or not I believe in them.
Exactly.
So I'll be glad to play up the stereotype for the sake of the story, but
right.
I'll probably react against it in many ways. Mm. I don't know that there is. I think it matters where you come from a lot. And in some ways, when I maybe there was a difference to me when I specified the difference between North and South Dublin. The way that South Dublin is typically seen as more privileged, and on average, that's where the richer people live, and more people will have graduated from college and will live there. North Dublin is seen as less deprived. At least in Ireland, it used to be status did not equate with wealth, and mm-hmm. there was a certain inverse. There is quite a lot of inverse snobbery. That's probably changed now, maybe not for the better. But poor is no longer an honourable profession there, since there's been some problems over having a split economy. But then, with that said, on the north of Dublin, where we were living, we were kind of the richest part of the north of Dublin. So it was being on the other side in several different ways. Mm. Ever see the film The Commitments?
Parts of it, but I haven't seen the whole thing. Why?
That's set in North Dublin.
Oh, okay.
And the distinction between North and South is important.
Mm, okay.
I think it was the North Dubliners were the... I forgot the quote.
Now, when you're growing up, are you, you cognizant of that distinction, or of your place in sort of the social world and hierarchy? I guess I'm trying to ask how class conscious.
It's, Ireland is probably, there is much less of a class consciousness, I think, than there would be here now.
Right.
The wealth gradient, there wasn't anything like the wealth gradients I see now where I'm living right here. And status didn't equate with wealth. There was some family feelings, like, you know, some of my mother's family, not just her immediate family, but her cousins, her father's, or her mother's sisters, were probably sort of lived in a bigger house, had more pretensions, and which we regarded as pretensions, so it probably did come out in that way.
Right.
Oh, going to see Auntie Gertie. So it was, and mimicry is, very much also a feature of Irish humor. You would, a lot of the way you exaggerate or mimic. to make something is probably there is an awareness of class consciousness there.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have just enough tape on this to maybe get into this topic about your youth. Describe yourself as a young child, maybe between 4 and 8, maybe just before you get into the Jesuit school. What kind of child were you?
Scared.
Right.
I think, I don't know, maybe it's just those are the memories that persist longest. Right. I think it's having just been through Halloween. I think I remember being deathly afraid of anything around Halloween time, any masks, anything like that. Curious. I think I always liked exploring things.
Right.
I liked exploring things. I liked making maps of things.
Hmm.
Not very gregarious. Probably a tendency to being a loner all the way along.
Mm-hmm.
Not very bookish. Read it, started by reputation, I'm told. I started reading at 2.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't put a book down. Haven't put a book down yet. and I'm being punished for it now because my daughter's turning out exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So I had always that retreat available to me, and sometimes made use of it quite a lot.
Right.
What
kind of books would you tend to gravitate towards?
Everything.
Really? So.
Everything involving ink on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Stories early on, nonfiction as well as stories early on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think books about, books about animals. I think I remember one. Whether it's not, it's real, or whether it's just memory shorthand, I connect interest in natural history coming out of one particular big picture book of animals.
Mm-hmm. And where did you get most of your reading material? Was it something that was laying around the house, or did you go to libraries, or how did you find
house? As soon as my bicycle range expanded to include the local library, I was hooked.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the natural history book. Were there other books that were important? Sort of, and we can go beyond the 4 to 8 range at all. Were there books that were very important in forming you?
Let's see. Some of the in fiction, some of the older adventure stories. I don't know if you know any of the Arthur Ransom stories,
mm-hmm.
John Buchan later on. Things sort of with a hunting, shooting, fishing, sailing background, which is odd because mythology books,
mm-hmm.
Of all sorts. Some of the, where the whole family's led by my daughter's reading, has read the entire Harry Potter series and they're fun, but I keep thinking how much better, David's parental snobbery, how much better the equivalent books based on Celtic mythologies. Mm-hmm. Were a couple of series that I read when I was younger.
Right.
To find again. I still read in sort of the same areas. I don't know. I'm trying to get my daughter to write down titles of books that she reads starting now because it's something I wish I had done.
Mm-hmm. We're near the end of this tape, and
okay.
I'll flip it over.